Welcome to the Sales Acceleration Show, where we talk about the science of selling across the areas of demand generation, sales, and sales operation. This show is about doing. We focus on real problems, real solutions with real people, all dedicated to accelerating sales.
I'm Gabe Larson.
And I'm Steve Ehrer. Let's dive in.
Coming at you live from Provo, Utah, the Sales Acceleration Show. I love saying Provo, Steve. I love it.
I'm coming from Salt Lake today.
Yeah, that's true, and I'm actually not in Provo, but typically we're in Provo. You know, I was thinking about that because I'm not in Provo, and I usually don't say, you know, people are like, where is InsideSales.com from? I'm usually like, you know, it's out of Salt Lake City. I mean,
I would.
Provo, you know, I mean, I don't even know Provo, and I basically live there.
Unless you've seen an old Fletch movie, there's really no reference to Provo.
That's the only one I can think of.
Well, I think it might have gotten mentioned in X-Files once, but everybody knows where Salt Lake City is.
Yeah, thankfully. So, 2002 Olympics, you know, you can't knock it. But
I am right now, I'm about five blocks from the Olympic Stadium.
I love it. So, yeah. It is my hometown. Ski season coming on. Got an interesting show today. We've done some research. You know, Steve, every year we partner with the American Association of Inside Sales Professionals. If you don't know those guys, you should. They rock. Bob and Larry over there, big fans. Every year we do a research study on kind of what pisses people off.
Well, if there's one thing that salespeople are, it's opinionated.
Yeah, that's right.
We're an opinionated bunch.
Yeah, you get them on the phone, you get them to answer a survey. They love to talk. But we asked leaders, we asked managers, you know, what pisses them off the most? And we wanted on this podcast today to kind of dive into more on the rep side, talk about the top five things that piss off inside sales reps the most. Maybe next week we'll have to do the leaders. We'll have to see. But today we're diving into the reps.
Well, let's look at the things let's start on the bottom side. What pissed people off the least?
Yeah, you know, some interesting trends, Steve. If we went over this report, you know, I've been diving over it. A couple interesting things really jump out. The one that was probably the most surprising. So let me read kind of the bottom categories for you here. Tools, technology.
Are we going from least to? Oh no, I see what you're doing.
Yeah. This is the kind of your 10 to 15. So these are the things that, you know,
starting at number 10.
That's right. So these are things that reps are like, you know what? I'm okay with these, or these don't bug me as much as other things. So starting with number 10 here, you've got tools and technology, clarity of goals. I don't even know what that is. Clarity of goal. We probably need to get that out of there.
Yeah. I assume that to me, that seems like understanding what your objective is. Are you going for contract value and dollar amounts?
Yeah, right.
Or are you going for number of opportunities sourced?
Yeah.
What is your focus?
Yeah. So you get the clarity of your purpose or focus down. You've got senior management engagements. That's 10, 11, 12. Working with the field, and then rewards and recognition kind of top off those, that bottom of the list there.
What's interesting to me is you look at the list and you compare it to the year before, rewards and recognition to me kind of pops out.
Yeah, my goodness. So this
year went from number 9 to number 14, meaning people think it's almost a solved problem.
Yeah. I mean,
is that what that means, Gabe?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we broke out quota, you know, trying to hit your numbers, and even talking a little bit about KPIs or emphasis on metrics, those, and then rewards and recognition. So those are three different categories. So when it comes to rewards and recognition, think gamification, think spiffs, think those, you know, kind of monthly incentives, President's Club, those types of things. Huge mm-hmm. jump, 9 to 14.
That is huge.
You know, reps feeling like we made a huge dent in that category from 2015 to 2016. Now, the other big surprise, the other big surprise was tools and technology.
Right.
Because... first time since mm-hmm. we've done the survey that this one made the bottom of the list.
Well, it stayed steady in 2014 and 2015 at number three.
Number
and then
three.
Suddenly it drops to 10.
Yeah. So
is the problem solved?
Yeah. So it goes from top. It's something that, you know, everybody's saying this is a huge problem to all of a sudden, literally, you know, I don't care, but I'm not worried about this. So, yeah, first inclination from our side was it's done. We've done it, you know.
We've cracked it.
Shut the doors of sales acceleration companies. We don't need them anymore. But there was some interesting kind of asterisks next to tools and technologies. And I want to mention two here. One actually leads us to the top of the list, with one of the other big jumps from 2015 to 2016, but two big things. One was the change in micromanagement, sure. And two was the change in rules and procedures. So as we jump up to the top five things that piss off sales reps the most, let's see if we can kind of tie this story in. So let me read for you the top five things that piss off.
I feel like you should start at five and go to one, like, to build some suspense.
Okay, that's probably true. Drum roll, please, here. So you've got, for those of you who couldn't see,
I was doing air drums.
Yeah, air drums. That's right. So number five.
And my dog shook.
Is that what that sound was?
Yeah, that's with my dog.
Yeah, so you got number five is coaching. Number four is career advancement. Number three, training and development. Number two, rules and procedures. And then number one, lead quantity and quality. Now, truthfully, and Steve, I don't know what you think about lead quality and quantity. It's held steady in this study as number one from the very beginning.
It has bought a lot. Starting construction on a home, and it's the dream home. It's owning that space at number one. Has not budged, has not moved. it is staying steady.
It's so true, right? I mean, you talk to sales reps, it's like you want to piss them off. You tell them, hey, I'm giving you enough leads, and these leads are good enough.
But you know what? As a manager of salespeople, I think that's part of the beauty of a targeted approach, you know, of account-based marketing and sales is it's a way for those salespeople to really go get their own leads. It shouldn't be a problem if you're doing it right. Now, if it's a high velocity churn and burn, I think that's a potential issue. What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, that's a fair point. Certainly in, you know, if you were running that high velocity model, you could blame somebody else. You know, you could always say, I'm not getting enough leads and the quality wasn't good enough. I still think that's a problem. I'm not getting enough and the quality isn't good enough. The problem, but you can't blame anybody usually but yourself in that account-based model. I can't find them. I just can't find enough leads. There's not enough companies out there for me to find, or the ones that I do find aren't quality. Now the problem lies more with you, but I still think the rhetoric and the talk still lies in that. So, and truthfully, leads are the lifeblood of an organization. So I believe that probably will stay pretty steady, because if sales reps ever said, I've got all the leads and the best leads I've ever need, I don't know if you're in sales anymore. You're just become an order taker. So that probably will continue to
you're
dominate.
Cashier. I don't think the cashiers at the grocery store say, hey, you know what? I really need more people to come through my line.
They just don't. I was at the Smith's the other day.
tell me about the one that stuck out to me is the rules and procedures.
Yeah, this one.
Jumping up into the top.
That's right. Yeah, so this one ties in, I think, with the tools and technology. There was kind of an interesting synergy here, kind of these two being connected. So remember at the bottom, tools jumped way down, 3 to 10. Mm-hmm. Rules and procedures go from 5 to 2, and micromanagement goes from 14 to 8. So you've got this concept here where okay, man, we got the tools and technologies figured out, but they're adding a lot of new processes. They're adding a lot of new red tape to the and they're introducing potentially some micromanagement. And so we're starting to get the tech stack in place, but I don't know if we've figured out how to optimize around it and build it into our process in such a way that we're allowing the tech stack to do what it's supposed to, which is help us sell more.
It's almost like we're oversteering a little bit with the tech stack. Like, we've got this really great, these great CRM, this great technology. You've got stuff out there like Exec Vision, all this stuff that allows you to really coach and stuff, but you have to be careful how you use it. Otherwise you creep into that micromanagement.
Yeah. You know, and a couple of the things is I think in some cases we've overdone it, looking at a couple of the sales rep quotes, maybe too many tools, and those too many tools, to your point, make it feel like I'm being watched, and they add some additional steps to the sales process. And you want, again, you want to piss off a sales rep.
Make you click another button.
You add three more clicks to the sales processor. Yeah. So it's definitely a hot button. And I think there's something between those couple statistics that really jumps out. Now, the other thing that kind of jumped out in that top five, training and development is held pretty steady, and so is coaching. But career advancement, now that's something that's kind of it was outside of the top five. It's now jumped into the top five, moved up a couple spots. I mean, you run a sales team. What's going on here?
I think that part of it with inside sales reps is a lot of them tend to be younger. I think we've got a younger crew that tends to be there, and in general, but they have ambitions. I mean, they're in sales because they're hungry, they're ambitious, and they want to go.
Yeah.
And they see inside sales potentially as their foot in the door.
Yeah.
Right. As an SDR, they're like, okay, this is how I'm going to start selling software. This is how I'm going to start selling whatever it is I'm selling. And then they want to get going, you know, and they see their friends that are over an accounting firm or whatever, and they're working their way up through the ranks. So their friends are attorneys. The thing with sales is there's not a real clear path generally that I see, other than becoming a higher quality salesperson, going up, maybe working for a higher ticket item, possibly going into management. It's just not clear. And to be honest, we haven't done a good job of defining what the career path is. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's got to be that. I'm embarrassed. I'm on the road at the moment and talking to different companies here, and I don't feel like people have got it nailed down. I mean, you know, I'm with the millennials on this one, or the sales reps. I'm an SDR, and it's, you know, you can potentially move into an inside sales role, but it's pretty subjective. Right. We want you to stay in sales development land for a long time. But I want to progress. Well, there's no levels in sales development, and so I feel like I'm not moving. Inside sales, you know, getting to outside sales, that jump is in some cases impossible. And so I'm kind of stuck in limbo here. I got to go to another company if I want to progress.
Well, I know a guy who we started at a company, at different companies, about the same time. I started at inside sales and he started someplace else. He's now on his third company.
Is he?
In the year and a half that I've been at inside sales, he's now on his third company. Now, I think.
And is it because career? Is it career? Or is it something else? Is it?
I think he's always jumping for the next rock, and there's no career path at these places. He's a smart, bright guy. I've worked with him before, and he's bright. He's driven.
Yeah, you're right. I could name probably five friends who've kind of done the leapfrog, you know, to get one more title, get another title. And there's some truth to it, you know. I mean, sometimes you got to move to be recognized. But at the same time, boy, I think there's truth to this one, man. We've not nailed the career advancement, the leveling in one role or another.
Going back to our episodes that we've had, and the great thing is I can think of specific episodes for almost every one of these issues, right? coaching. How many, we've talked to several people who specialize in coaching. And
coaching is big, man. People, right. That technology is coming down the pipe. We got a lot of people itching to get in there.
But with career advancement, I'm thinking back to our episode with ZipRecruiter, where they had that way of moving people up and moving people down. They have, they're ones that have it nailed. If you wanted to see how to nail that, listen to that episode.
Yeah, Kevin rocks. I mean,
yeah,
ZipRecruiter, that's a company in a culture that they get it just across the board from sales to
marketing. They also have the lead quantity covered as well.
Yeah, and their rules of procedures, they've got some cool stuff there. So here, I'll do a quick summary again. So again, top five things to piss sales reps off, specifically inside sales reps. Bug them about lead quality and quantity. It's never going to be good enough. Number two, give them more things to do, rules and procedures. Number three, training and development. Don't help me. Just let me go on my own. Number four, career advancement. Put me in limbo. Expect me just to hang out there. That's going to make me real happy. And then the last but not least is coaching. You know, leave me high and dry on onboarding and then just let me go forward playing kind of no coach land, trying to figure my own things out. So those are your top five things. We got a great study on the InsideSales.com website.
Put a link to
top
it.
Top Inside Sales Challenges 2016. Make sure you go check that out. Grab it. There's some other great highlights, not just the reps, but the managers, and also some key trends that are going on in the industry. So with that, Steve, back to you.
Yeah, please look for it in the show notes. Download it. You can also find it at InsideSales.com. We've got a lot of great ebooks and white papers and studies that are on there that are there for you to look at and learn from. So
there for you to look at, for heaven's sake.
Well, yeah, do look something. At, read, learn right. from, do, you know, whatever you like with them. Print them out. Use them as wallpaper.
Amen. You
always learn from them. So listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Subscribe to us there. You can email us at podcast@insidesales.com. If you guys have a different opinion, please let us know. If you guys see other issues that are creeping up in your organization, let us know. You can also reach out to us on Twitter. Gabe is at Gabe Larson. That's Larson with an S-E-N. And I'm at Steve Error, E-R-O-R. Reach out to us on LinkedIn as well. And with that, let's get at it.